Just a few more thoughts this morning, but let's have a word of prayer before we turn to the word. Lord, would you speak to us, please? We're a weak and feeble people, and we need your help so much. We pray that you will just lead us and guide us as we turn briefly to the word and continue to bless in the meetings of the day, continue to bless in the hearts and lives of those that we love who do not know you or who do not have strength at this time. And just, Lord, show your grace and mercy, but draw many to yourself, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Just one other announcement that I forgot to mention, and that is that ESL registration will be this coming Wednesday morning here at the chapel between 10 and 11:30. Invite your friends to be part of ESL registration Wednesday morning at 11:30, or sorry, at 10 to 11:30. That's January the 18th. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. We've been talking on these Sunday mornings about what kind of an assembly, what kind of a church ought we to be. And we'd like to say what kind of a church we are, but frankly, we're not really sure. And we look around and sometimes we see things that encourage us much, and other times we see things that alarm us much, and it's hard to know precisely what we are. We don't want to be exactly like the New Testament churches, because many of them had to be rebuked because they were not following the Lord as they should. But we would like to be like a New Testament assembly that heeds the rebuke and the counsel and the call to repentance that the New Testament churches were called to be. We would like to be that kind of assembly that a New Testament church was supposed to be. We talked a little bit then about the church and about the fact that, among other things, we really would like to have unity at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We spent a fair amount of time on that in the last couple of weeks. Let me just remind you that this particular theme of what kind of a church we ought to be is part of the theme that our brother David Dunlap is following in his ministry on Zoom on Friday evenings at 6:30. And he's going to be speaking for several more weeks on the general subject of the church and what we should be. Last week, I think he was on the subject of the Lord's Supper and the priesthood of all believers it was last week. So if you're free, 6:30 to 9 o'clock, 6:30 till 8 o'clock on a Friday evening on Zoom, many from the land on the other side of the sea are part of that audience, and many of you are part of the audience too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we were talking about the Lord's Supper. Is there a protocol as to what the Lord's Supper ought to be? And if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find a detailed protocol as to how the saints should worship. And the book of Leviticus reads as, from our perspective, almost to an exhaustion, going into detail as to what should be. You get to the New Testament and you don't find that rigorous protocol. What therefore should we be? One of the things we find in the Old Testament is that because of this rigorous protocol, the theme that comes across very clearly, and it is this: there should not be a casual response to the truth of God. Our God is not the author of the casual. And if you don't believe it, go back and read Leviticus one more time. Then you might even go back and read Revelation one more time. You'd say, I guess that's true. He's not there. And he's not the kind of God who says anything goes and I'll be happy. And so I've been pondering and I've been saying, now, what is the difference between, what is the opposite of casual? And in our 20th century, 21st century culture. I guess the opposite of casual is formal, isn't it? And I'm not sure that there really is a formality that we follow at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Now, you look for one in Scripture, you get glimpses of it here and there, but it's not really clear. What is the opposite of casual in the New Testament, in the Old Testament context? And the answer is responsible. We live in an age of the casual. All around us, it's casual. In Scripture, it's responsible. Marvelous privilege, isn't it? Imagine someone like me being able to live up to the responsibility that God has for me. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? When we were children, our parents didn't just say, go do anything you want. They said, you're responsible. My father used to say, remember who you are, who you serve. He didn't just mean that I'm Harold Summers. He meant that I was a Christian. I was to behave as a child in a responsible manner. We're to behave as responsible in the work of God, in the Lord's Supper, and in all else that we do. I want us to consider some of these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. And verse number 27 is where we will start. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's not a prescribed protocol, but it certainly is a warning of significance. The breaking of bread is not just a casual meeting. Breaking of bread is a very formal meeting. And in the eyes of the Lord, for us to abuse that privilege is a very serious thing. There were some in the assembly in Corinth, and I think the Corinthian culture was not far different from contemporary Canadian culture. There were those who didn't take the breaking of bread meeting very seriously. Some of them got sick as a consequence. I better rephrase that. Some of them were judged by the Lord with sickness as a consequence. And some of them died as a consequence. What is the breaking of bread to be for us? Well, it's a very serious activity then. And in particular, it is to be entered into, first of all, only by believers. And we welcome many to our group on a Sunday morning. And we're happy that they come to the meeting, but it would be wrong for them to take the bread and the wine if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, wouldn't it? The meeting is for the believers. He who eats or drinks this unworthily eats and drinks judgment, damnation to himself. Wow. Some people say, you know, you can become a Christian if you take the bread and the wine. And they figure that by taking the bread and the wine, they bring a certain special blessing to themselves. Some even go so far as to say that special blessing would be eternal life. God says, you take it unworthily, and that you take is not a special blessing, but it is a special condemnation. And you say, wow. Doesn't sound terribly casual, does it? Therefore, we respect the breaking of bread. And we thrill at the privilege of being part of it. But it's certainly not casual. It is an activity of responsibility. And we all come by the grace of God prepared in order to fulfill the responsibility. We are to come, as we've been reminded this morning, and we are to come, Hebrews chapter 13, bringing our praises to the Lord, the sacrifice of praise. And we all come bringing the sacrifice of praise. Why are you here? We're here to say thank you, Lord. What are we going to do? We're going to say thank you, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord, publicly, and we say thank you, Lord, privately, and we do it over and over and over again during the breaking of bread, don't we? And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been encouraged this morning to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Well, that's what we were doing. Did we see the beauty of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. And did we remember that it didn't really mean terribly much to us before we trusted the Lord? Well, sometimes we would see the people of God loving the Lord and serving the Lord, and we would say, what's the matter with you? I had a friend who used to tell me, he says, if that turns you on, Harold, you just go right ahead and do it. That's not the point. The point is that he is beautiful, and the more we gaze on him, the more beautiful he becomes. So at the breaking of bread, we have the responsibility as well as the privilege, not the casual, to come prepared to serve the Lord. Again, if you have friends that you invite to the breaking of bread, that's wonderful, but they're not to take part of the bread and the wine if they don't know the Lord. And if they're living lives that are not the kind of life that the Lord would want them to live, they shouldn't take the bread and the wine. Let a man examine himself and then take the bread and the wine. We're encouraged. When I was younger, we used to have movable chairs. And in the Old Testament, in the New Testament rather, there was a circle. You met around the bread and the wine. And so we used to arrange the chairs around in a circle, and the bread and the wine would be in the center. And those of us who were not baptized and in fellowship and remembering the Lord, we would sit at the back. There was a distinction made between us. And we decided sometime many years ago, I'm not sure when, that was maybe just a little too formal. And so we have not followed that procedure. But the policy is very true, that those who do not know the Lord and those who do not live lives that are bringing honor to the Lord, they shouldn't take the bread and the wine. And so if you invite people, you just explain to them. Remember, we're all in unity, and we all teach the same thing. We all teach. So you just say to them, now listen, you come along. We want you to learn about the wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ, but don't you take that bread, don't you take that wine until it's true that you have accepted the Lord as your Savior and you're committed to him and you want to serve him. And that's the great responsibility and the great privilege that we have. So all of these things are just little reminders as to where we stand by the grace of God at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. You can go to other churches and they do things differently. Well, that's fine, but we want to follow the word of God. Just a word or two. We'll talk more about this next time, but a word or two about Zoom. Zoom is an interesting thing. And the theme that has been impressed on my heart is the theme of the casual or the responsible. And it's true that, have you ever noticed that there's something more casual about Zoom than there is about sitting here at the chapel? And I've told you the story before, I tell it again because it made its impact on me. When Zoom first came in, and I should tell you that when Zoom first came in, it came in all of a sudden for us. We didn't sit down and say we're going to restructure our meetings. We were told that we had to have practice social distancing. There were only so many that we could have in the building at one time. And the whole thing was thrust on us, and Zoom was an opportunity, and we sort of plunged into it. Here we are. We've never really stopped to figure out precisely what our protocol is for Zoom. But the story that I was about to tell you is that when it first came in, I spoke to a gentleman from another church. And I said to him, "What do you think of this?" And he said, "Well, actually, it works pretty good." He says, I was at my house yesterday morning, and everything worked fine. He said the problem was that I missed part of the sermon when I got up to get an extra bowl of Cheerios. But apart from that, it was really, and I thought to myself, now hang on a minute. Is Zoom an acceptable alternative to meeting with the people of God? If it includes the opportunity to go get some more Cheerios and talk to Millie or Molly or Baldo, it could be very easy, couldn't it, for us to take the Zoom logic and allow it to legitimatize the casual, and to allow it to ignore the responsibility. And you can sort of follow this in many directions, and probably next time I'm on this subject, this time we will follow it in many directions. But we got to be very, very careful. There is a... There is a responsibility, there is a format that we follow here in the chapel when we're all together. That's a good responsibility. And we've just got to make sure that we don't fail in that responsibility. Brethren, we have a responsibility to rise and to say, "Thank you, Lord." Ladies, you have a responsibility to bow your hearts before the Lord and utter those praises that the brethren don't offer. And you say, "Lord, brother so-and-so said this and brother so-and-so said that, but you know, I love you for this reason and I want to thank you for that." And each of us are bringing our baskets. You remember, I tried to figure out what this word responsibility means. And the Lord said to Peter, we read about it, Luke 22 and elsewhere. The Lord said to Peter and John, "Now you go and prepare us a place where we can hold the Passover." What was meant in that preparation? Well, I suppose they had to prepare the food. They had to get a lamb and slaughter it at the right time. But there was a large upper room furnished. What did they have to do? They probably had to clean that room, and they had to organize that room, and they had to make sure that everything was ready. Probably had to make sure there were enough chairs for all the people to sit who were coming. Preparation for the Lord's Supper. Would it be easy to allow a certain preparation for the Lord's Supper at the chapel and ignore that preparation for the Lord's Supper if you were on Zoom? Possibility, isn't it? And so we don't have a prescription. We don't have a protocol as to what we follow, but we do have responsibilities. And for those of you on Zoom, praise the Lord that you're here, but there are responsibilities that you have the same way as we have. And you take the bread and the wine the same way we do. And you get a piece of a roll of some kind, and you set it aside, and you take that at that time, and you take the wine at that time, and the responsibility to prepare for the Lord's Supper on Zoom is no less than the responsibility to prepare for the Lord's Supper at the chapel. Similarly, in the other meetings, the responsibilities on Zoom are great. And it's easier, I think is the way to put it. It's easier to allow the casual to control the activities on when you're on Zoom than when you're not. So here's a question. If there's a Zoom option and a meet in the chapel option, which should influence the other? And the answer is the activities in Zoom should be influenced by the standards in the chapel and not the influence of Zoom to influence what's going on in the chapel. It's quite possible that we could run the meetings at the chapel the same way as they're run on Zoom. And we might become a pretty loose, casual people. So all of this as just general counsel, general responsibilities. What a great privilege we have, in particular for Zoom. We reach out by the grace of God to the world. It's a marvelous thing. But we've got to make sure that we bring the honor and the protocol, not the protocol, the honor and the responsibility to all our meetings. If in fact we invite the Lord to the breaking of bread, and in particular the Lord invites us to the breaking of bread, why, then we've got to make sure that if we're on Zoom, we're inviting him and he's inviting us in the same context. I told you the story before and tell you again as we close, but we had a discussion many years ago with some of the non-believers and new believers in our group, and we were downstairs. I'm not sure, there might have been 20 or 30 of us there that day. And I said, what would you do if the Queen sent you a little letter and simply said, I'm going to be coming to Vancouver, and I'd like to come over to your place, spend an afternoon with you. Would you be willing if I came? And I said to the ladies who were there, I said, now tell me, what would you do if that were the case? One lady said, well, I'd certainly clean the house before that happened. And another lady said, well, frankly, I'd get a little more furniture, a little new furniture. That sofa is beginning to look a little bit threadbare. And somebody else said, you know, frankly, I'd redecorate. And one of the ladies said, I'd get a new house. And we got to remember, that's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is inviting us. He's inviting us to come to his house. We're going there someday. In the meantime, he wants to come to our house. And when we meet with him, we got to remember, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and casual isn't going to cut it. Lord, we marvel. We marvel that the breaking of bread is so important in Scripture, that you've said that he that eateth and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Lord, we don't like that phrase. That's pretty scary. We pray, Lord, that we might do in the assembly what we should do. Lord, may we be those who live up to the responsibility to which we've been called and to the extremely great privilege associated with it. Imagine, we can become worshipers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we can actually bring blessing to him as we look at his beauty and thank you for him. Lord, would you cause us at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel to bring the appropriate glory to your name? And may each of us, Lord, everyone, without exception, live up to the responsibility to which we've been called. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.